If you've watched any of our Wednesday night podcast on the harvest, that I've done interviews with different missionaries, they've been very insightful. They've been very strengthening to me. I hope that you're watching them, and it doesn't have to. You don't have to tune in live at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. It's there on the Facebook Live page, the Facebook page for Faith Assembly, and you can watch it anytime you like. They're about 30 minutes long, and it's just very insightful, and it'll encourage you to let you know that God is still on the move all across the world. He is still actively engaged in souls being saved. The gospel is going forward in power and in clarity, and many lives are being changed as a result of these missionaries going out in obedience to that. But we also have local missionaries here. Starsha, you're one of them, okay? And you're able to minister to people that the Lord's laid on your heart, and we know that God is doing some great things through Palmetto Women's Center. There's also another ministry that we are partnering with here in our community called the Hope Center, and Warren Forrester is in charge of that. He's over it. He's the pastor of it. And I've invited him to come today for something a little different. In fact, I don't know if I've ever done this before. If I've done it maybe once since we've been here almost 11 years, I don't think I've really ever sat down and just interviewed somebody live like this. But I feel like the Lord is laying that on our hearts to do that today. So I would like for you to welcome right here Warren Forrester. He's sitting in the audience, and I want to have him come up. And I just want you to come up, Warren, if you will. Can I move these a little bit closer? Thank you. This is not a COVID. This is a COVID-free zone up here. Take that microphone, if you will. Warren, God bless you, and thank you. Is it on?
Is it hello?
Yeah, you're on. So for those of you who are tuning in on Facebook Live, by the way, we welcome you. And this has to do with you all as well, everybody here. But for the next little bit, I want to introduce the congregation to you, those that are viewing here as well. And I want to find out, what is the Hope Center all about? There's several people here that are that minister there on Saturdays and different times of the week, doing different things. But tell me what the Hope Center is all about, and what is your role there? And maybe give us a little bit of background about who you are.
Well, first, as I was sitting there, I just... It's very humbling to be sitting here, but we need to realize how big our God is, because He's bigger than anything that we can do every day, any day, throughout the year, throughout our lives. And just sitting there listening to, and I've met Starsha, and it's just... we have to be united in the community for whatever cause we have. I'm privileged to be the director of the Full Life Hope Center on 546 South Trey Road. We save lives too, but we save souls. And it's a combination of everything. I was telling Pastor Brian on the way here, there was a man on the corner, and he had a sign. He said, "We'll work for food." And I thought to myself, where would Jesus be if he was on earth right now? He'd be right there with that man, just loving him for who he is, for not what he's done, not what he's going to do. And that's what we do at the Full Life Hope Center. We encourage people to be better. Yeah, we offer clothes and food, and we offer them love. Because that's what Jesus would do if he's here. He would offer them love. The rest of it will come. We have a great staff. The Lord has just blessed us. There's a lot of transitions going on, and we go a couple rounds with Satan every day. But we know at the end that the Lord is going to be there for us. And I'm thankful for this congregation. Just to let you guys know, you are known as the War Cry Church. Shekinah. But the thing is, when a church comes, an organization comes, all we do is ask one thing. Just come love people. Just love them. That's all. The rest of it will come. But if we don't love them for who they are, then we're not doing what God has called us to do. So we're open 7 days a week. We have some services. We provide showers, laundry. We have some daily devotions. We have a computer lab that we're building up now, and we're looking for people to come in and teach some basic computer skills, because what we want to do at the Full Life Hope Center is get their life full again. So we need partnerships with churches, but we need individual partnerships too, to sit down beside somebody and say, hey, how are you today? And that means more than anything that we could ever get, to just show them that they're loved and there's a commitment there. We're coming there because we want to, not because we have to.
So you mentioned a little bit ago about the people holding up the sign and saying we'll work for food, and we're talking about homeless people, folks that are struggling, they don't have a roof over their head. There's a stigma in most of this country towards people that are homeless. And I would love to somehow dispel that stigma to this congregation, to those that are viewing. Who are these people? I would imagine that some people, as they see that person holding up that sign, they're probably thinking, lazy bum, or, you know, yeah, right, they probably are making more money than I am, or, you know, they're cynical. We've seen it abused, right? So how do you dispel this stigma? Talk to us about who these people are that are holding up those signs that are at the Hope Center on any given day. And it probably covers the spectrum, but give us some examples of who they are. They're not all just taking advantage. Some of them are struggling in real life.
From where we sit here, they're children of God, first and foremost. Secondly, you can't become homeless by shaking a homeless man's hand or a homeless woman's hand. You can't become addicted to drugs or alcohol because you touch or talk to a homeless person. But that's the stigmatism that we have in this country, and it breaks my heart because that's not necessarily true. But we have to look at it from their side of the view. They're not comfortable for somebody that they don't know to come in and say, hey, how you doing this morning? But once you do that, once you look them in the eye and say, listen, I truly care about you, they'll be like, oh, so not everybody looks at me like a drug addict or this. But we have created that, and part of just being a disciple of Christ, we have to eliminate that. Because if we don't, it's just going to continue to grow. So that's what we offer there first. And I invite, when I meet people, I invite them to come down. Just come down and hang out for a half hour, 45 minutes, if you've got time in your day, because I guarantee you one thing, once you walk in that place, it'll change your heart. And you may not be able to come down there and physically sit down and say, hey, Brian, how are you doing? But you can do things from behind the scenes. You can add support, but there's so many things that can be done outside of the Full Life Hope Center, but it's about awareness. And are we aware there's homeless people? A lot of people that come down to the center, wow, I feel bad. I didn't know. Don't feel bad. But now that you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to help these individuals?
Yeah, Pastor Joseph, real quick before I forget, can you get a microphone and have it ready? Because I want to be able to give folks in the congregation an opportunity to ask a question. And if they would raise their hand, you can go and put the microphone in front of them so everybody can hear it in just a few moments here. I forgot to mention that to you before service, if you could take care of that for me. So are you saying that when you go to the Hope Center, what's it called? Is it called the Hope Center or is it?
It's called the Full Life Hope Center.
Full Life Hope Center. And it's there on South Cherry Road. It's just north of that big cemetery that's there, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so kind of close to York Natural Gas and kind of that general area. So everybody knows where that is in that general area there. When people come there, though, you say that they're just looking for acceptance. They're not looking to be judged. They're just looking to be loved. What can you tell us some examples of maybe some people that have come in and how they're struggling and how you've just shown them the love of Christ and what difference it's made in their life?
Well, I have one gentleman, we'll call him Danny. I've known Danny for like 3.5 years, and he struggled with alcohol, and he just kept going out, coming back, going out, coming back. But every time he went out, we prayed with him, and when he came back, we're like, we're still here, Danny. We're not going to go anywhere. We're still here for you. And over time, and it took some time, about 7 months ago, Danny moved into a place up in South Carolina, He got his own place. He signed away all his money to the place where he's living, so now they have control of his money. He's been sober for almost 9 months. He calls every 4 or 5 weeks, say, "Hey, Mr. Warren, I just want to let you know I'm doing well and thank you, but I make sure that everybody knows that this has nothing to do with me. I just sometimes get in the way, and I'm blessed that I'm sitting where I'm at, because in some form or fashion, I've been where they're at." So we can all relate to that. But when you start relating to it, then you start looking in the mirror and you're like, "Do I want to?" That's uncomfortable for me. But I guarantee you, when we were at that point, there was somebody there for us. And that's what we do at the Full Life Hope Center. We offer all kinds of, but we just offer Jesus. But with that being said, we offer other things that can help them and build themselves up.
And there's an uncomfortableness with approaching people that are different than us, whatever that may be. It could be a different religion, a different skin color, a different socioeconomic sort of thing, you know, whatever the case may be. When we go out and do witnessing at downtown Rock Hill by the fountain, for example, or we go to the center where you work, or any place that's just different, right? And maybe they don't look or smell or act the way that we want, that we're used to. We all look and smell and act really good in here, right? And so we clean up good, right? And so it's a comfortable place to be, right? But then you get around people, and I remember a story that the pastor helped me out here up at Brooklyn Tabernacle. What's his name? Jim Cimbala. He told a story one time of in downtown New York City. Imagine the homelessness and the all that's there, just magnified, just millions and millions of people. And that church is right there in downtown. And so certainly people just walk in off the street all the time. And there's a story that he told one time that I'll never forget of how it had a big church service. And if you know anything about the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, they're just huge and they're really well known and they sing great songs. So they're really well known for that. Of course, Jim Cimbala is a fantastic preacher and he has a real heart for the Lord. But at this particular service, I think it had been probably they like do multiple services throughout the day. And this was later on in the day. And he was a little bit weary, and he was just ready to go home. And here comes a homeless man coming in, and you could just tell he was just dressed raggedly. He smelled, the closer he got, the more you could smell the body waste on him, basically. It was just unbearable almost. And I remember him telling the story. He says, "You know, my automatic reflex was to pull out my wallet and to say, 'I'm getting ready to give you some money.'" It's just an automatic reflex to say, "I'm going to give you some money." Because as he saw him coming, he was coming right towards the pastor. So he knew, and certainly I can relate to that, because when we have the services here or throughout the week, there's hardly a week that goes by that we don't have somebody coming and needing some help with some food or gas or power bill or whatever. The need is here as well. But he told the story of how this man came up, and he immediately... when he pulled out the wallet, the man, he started having a conversation with him, and he says, "I'm not looking for your money." And they begin to have this conversation. And the Holy Spirit just kind of told him to put that wallet back in. He says, when he walked up, the closer he got, the more unbearable the odor became. And if you've ever been around somebody like that, you know how difficult it is to even breathe. It's not like you're offended by them. You're just, your senses are just overwhelmed with the rancid smell. But he says the more that he talked with him, the Holy Spirit began to convict him that he wasn't there for his money. He wasn't there for any sort of charity. He just needed, the Holy Spirit just began to speak to him and say, "I need you to just love on this man. I just need you to just speak to him, and I just need you to be there for him. Just be present with him. Accept him, right? Love him. Don't judge him." And he says, "I realized that as I began to minister to him, and I began to, I started to pray over him. And as I began to pray over him, that rancid smell became a sweet smell." and he began to just love on that man like he needed to. And the Holy Spirit began to convict him and really just kind of correct him and say, don't become so hardened and jaded. Don't become so offended or judgmental. Just love on the people that I bring to you." And the long story short on this is that man, He prayed over him. He accepted the Lord. And if you fast forward to his life about a year or two later, he was cleaned up. He was singing in the choir. He was working, volunteering at the church. The Lord rescued him and redeemed him. But you see, and that's a praise the Lord for that. But if Jim had not done what he did, and if he hadn't put that wallet back in his you know, pocket and really began to engage with this man through his weariness, through his kind of cynicism a little bit, and just kind of judging him like, okay, here we go again, kind of that here we go again sort of response. But the Holy Spirit just took all that away and said, you need to love on this man. And see, there's people like that in Rock Hill. There's people like that in our community that if we're not careful, we're going to miss out on those opportunities that we have to bring people redemption and rescue. See, God has a plan for us. His plan that we might have life and have it to the full. He has a destiny for us, each of us, in our lives. But Satan also has a plan for our lives. And his job description is one that kills, steals, and destroys. And how many have seen that in so many people's lives? Amen? Right? But so Satan's plans could be accomplished in people's lives. And that's just from people making choices a lot of times and choosing to reject God. But we have the hope in us of Christ Jesus. And we have that opportunity to speak into someone's life, to push aside the outside stuff and the judgmental sort of approach that we would look at them and say, well, you kind of, you know, you're reaping what you've sown. And you kind of just, well, you know, you just kind of have that attitude. I mean, am I the only one that kind of looks at it that way sometimes? I hope not. If I am, then I am the worst of all sinners in this place. But I think we all tend to look at people sometimes that are different than us and say, well, and we just kind of fill in the blanks of whatever that is, kind of excusing away kind of this holier-than-thou sort of attitude, and that is not of God. There's nowhere that God can use anything like that. But if we were to stop for just a moment and say, okay, I have some time, I have some talent, I have some treasure, I have some experience, I have all of these things in my life, and I can do something. In fact, not only can I, we come to that place of realizing that we can, but that's mostly where most of us stop. We say we can. But actually doing it, actually putting legs on it. We actually talked about this a couple of Sundays ago, how the Lord wants us to put legs on our prayers, you know, not just pray for somebody, but actually put legs on our prayers and do something about it. And I look across this congregation, Warren, and we're no different than any other congregation. And we have time. All of us have 24 hours in any given day. We're all given that equally. Talent has been dispersed accordingly. All of us have different talents, but all of us making up the body of Christ make that difference together. Treasure. Some of us have greater treasure, and some of us have lesser treasure, but we still are able to steward all of those things. Experience. Many of us have years of experience. I look at the folks in our congregation that are retired, and you're at home, and you're trying to figure out what to do with your life. How can I invest? How can I engage? How can I give what God has put in my life? How can I steward well these resources of whatever they may be of our time and talent and treasure? And we can make a difference by going to a prayer walk on a Saturday in Charlotte. We can make a difference by volunteering at the Palmetto Women's Center. I'm sure you guys need volunteers, don't you? Yeah, you don't turn them away, do you? No, you need them. And at the same time, at the Hope Center where you are, the Full Life Hope Center, I love that, Full Life. There's opportunities there. You guys are open from like 9 to 5. Help me out here. What's your hours?
It's 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday, and then 9 to 4 on Saturday.
So it's during the daytime hours. Okay. And it's a safe area. I've been there several times. There's nothing scary about the place at all. But you're open during the daytime hours. And there's opportunities there for people such as us to connect with these folks. We don't have to go find them. They come to the place, right? Which is beautiful that the Lord just brings them there. And they're there for the food. They're there for the, you know, for the other sorts of things that you offer just so that they can live and survive another day. But at the same time, the love of Christ is there. The presence of the Lord is there. Redemption is there. Rescue is there in Christ. Restoration is there. God's plan for their life is there. God's destiny is there for them. And we can be part of that. And what I want to kind of pivot into here, Warren, is this. So we have all this time and talent and treasure that are represented in this congregation. And for those of you who are watching, and maybe you're watching some other part of the country, this speaks to you as well in your community. But we know that this ministry exists. And we know that you're head of this ministry. And we know that there are great needs there. We don't know exactly what those needs are. But I'd like for you to share with us some practical things that we, who maybe are not preachers, maybe we don't sing, maybe we're not a Bible scholar, maybe we're not all of those sort of things that we kind of put in that category of ministry. But what are some other things that maybe we can do that you would see as a need there at the Hope Center, or maybe we can engage? Talk to us about what are some needs of these people that are coming.
Well, the first thing I would think is we have to look at it. We need to meet these individuals where they're at, not where we're at. The other thing is we have computer labs, but we have a lot of individuals there that can't read, they can't write, they can't do any. They maybe only have a second or third, fourth, fifth grade education.
Again, that's stuff we take for granted, right?
That's correct.
So we need an individual to sit down and read with them or read to them, or if somebody's got computer experience, hey, how do you turn a computer on? How do you write a resume? How do you do a job application? But if you can't read very well, you can't comprehend all that, you never get to that point, and you're scared because you're like, I don't know how to do this. And they are apprehensive about admitting there's something wrong. Because we all have pride. And when pride gets in the way, what happens? We don't do anything. Even as Christians, we're very prideful. So those kind of things. And again, just the basic things that we take for granted, Brian, like you said, reading, writing, just communicating, holding a conversation with somebody. Because they're not used to doing that. They're in their mind, it's a constant survival every day. Being homeless is very taxing. If you really think about it, where am I going to live? Where am I going to stay? Is it going to rain today? Do I have enough water? Do I have enough clothes? You know, the list goes on and on and on. And by the time they're done with that list, they're exhausted, and it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Miss Warren, it's going to rain. I need. They need all these things, but what they really need is to know that they're loved. And if a new person walks in there that they don't know, they see me every day. But if a new person or a different person walks in and shows them the love of Jesus, they're like, wow, there's more than five people out in the city of Rock Hill that care about me. Because if you ask them, they would say, I don't think too many people care about us. But they do, and the Lord has put on my heart to make sure they hear that from all the staff every day. You're loved, you're cared about, you're wanted, you're worthy. But when they're laying under a bridge at night and it's raining, they don't feel anything. They feel numb.
It's pretty hopeless, I would imagine. So that's why you call it Full Life Hope Center, that you provide hope. But the hope that we provide for them, that you provide them, is in Christ. But you also need to give them some practical tools. Now, what we do on Saturdays, and she kind of told me some stories. It's so great to hear. She's so excited. And I've been to one or two of those services, but she'll minister on Saturdays, right? And her and the rest of some of the folks that show up, and she's just preaching, and she's just loving on them. And it's that war cry, and she has them do that war cry. What does that war cry sound like?
Jesus.
War cry.
Jesus.
War cry. Jesus.
Okay, now that we know what that's like, everybody needs to say Jesus when she says war cry. Don't just two or three people this time. Come on, everybody do it. Go ahead again, Shekinah. Now that you busted out your, open up your lungs, try it again.
When I say war cry, you say Jesus. War cry.
Jesus.
War cry.
Jesus.
War cry.
Jesus.
Amen. So what does that do to them when she comes in there like that and they say the war cry? How do they respond to that?
I have individuals that wait for Saturday. When's the war? When's the War Cry Church coming?
The War Cry Church. We're the War Cry Church. That's great.
When's the Jesus Church coming? And, you know, again, they look forward to it because, yeah, their food comes and all that, but they're bringing Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when people walk into the Full Life Hope Center, my prayer is that everybody that walks in there feels the love of Christ walking in that door. And I've had people come up to me and say, something's different in here. And I'm like, it's him. And it's him that we pray. We usher him in every morning when we pray before we open the doors. We pray during the day. If the staff gets down, I ask you all to pray for the Full Life Hope Center. Put it on your prayer calendar and pray for provision. Pray for financial provisions because it's a nonprofit, it doesn't mean it still takes money to run a nonprofit. So pray for provisions and just pray for salvation, because we had, I don't know, it's been 4 months ago, Shekinah, we had 8 people give their life to Christ. And then about 2 months later, we baptized 8 people in the parking lot in a horse trough. Yeah. Amen to that.
That's
I mean,
so good.
I mean, you know, we're worried about what else, but, you know, that was the Lord. You know, so, again, it's easy to sit up here and say, yeah, I'm the director. Again, I tell everybody that it's nobody down there at the Full Life Hope Center. It's Jesus. It's God running through that place and running the race with us. And I'm thankful for this congregation. I'm thankful for Pastor Brian and just allowing us to come here, but to let everybody know that there's an awareness. You know, there's people out there that are homeless. And one more thing, Brian and I were talking on the phone. If you look at it from a biblical, we're all homeless. We're all homeless. We're just here for a moment. So just because that man's on the edge of the street holding a sign up, we're all homeless as well. We're just in a different level.
We're just pilgrims passing through. This earth, this world is not our home. That's the idea of that. You're so true. You're so right. I want to just get a little more specific here, because you mentioned something about if you have computer skills or if you can help someone to read to them or write to them or show them how to write, and those basic skills that we take for granted that for whatever reason they don't have. And we meet them where they are, right? In their second grade education level or whatever the case may be, we meet them where they are. But there's also some practical skills that we would, and we can brainstorm here, maybe help me out with this, but I'll just throw out some, such as, you said filling out a resume. How about basic job skills? Showing up for work on time, being a good employee, right? Or being a good spouse or a good parent, parenting skills, budgeting skills. All of those sort of things. Help me out here. Is there anything?
Well, we do have individuals down there that do. They get a government check or whatever, but they don't know how to spend it. You know, their thought is because they live in the woods or in the street. When they get their check, their first thing on their mind is, "I'm going down to get a hotel room." And I probably would do the same thing. But over time, if we can educate them, budget this much money, put it aside, maybe not stay in a hotel that one night and start saving that money up, then we can help them move on where they can get a place of their own. I would also ask for prayer for affordable housing, because I could sit up here and talk for days on that, but there's the affordable housing is not good in Rock Hill, and for whatever reason, so I'm not, but they need affordable housing. They make X amount of dollars a month, and they need something they can afford and that they can call their own. So, you know, you're right. Budgeting and just what's a bank statement look like? I mean, I don't know most of them don't even know what one is. So, again, if you think elementary and just basic stuff, the list is quite long on what we could use.
So you don't have to be a college graduate and have degrees and all this sort of knowledge to be able to go in and invest into their lives. What about, I'm kind of thinking like some women, for example, and you have several women that are homeless women that are there too, not just men. And so they like to be prettied up, you know, they like to be dolled up. What if someone went in there and did a mani-pedi or like a spa day or something like that?
I could do my hair.
Yeah, you could do your hair. Take about 2 seconds and then they can move on to the next one, right? Yeah. But things like that, I don't know if anybody has a question or a comment. Pastor Joseph has a microphone there. If you just want to raise your hand at any time, this might be a good time to just ask anybody that has a question or a comment. Yes, back there. Stand up if you would.
Good morning.
Is that Wendy? Hi, Wendy.
Yeah, it's me. Just wondering, do you have a food preparation area?
Hold it a little closer.
Do you have a food preparation area where people come in and prepare meals?
At this point, Wendy, we do not. We have several. They're not. We have the big
kitchen appliances.
Yeah, but we don't have a stove. We don't have. We have refrigerators, but we don't have a prep area where you can. Most people that bring in meals, they're already prepped because there's no place to warm or cook.
So is that a volunteer thing, people bringing meals in?
Or? Yes, ma'am. What we do with that is I have another staff member. She's in kind of charge of the meal program, and they'll call up and say, hey, can we, we'd like to bring a meal once a month on Wednesdays at 11:30. If you're willing to do that, we say, okay, we'll put you on the schedule. And then if you're willing to serve, and that's the key, if you're comfortable coming and serving because you're on the other side of the table, you give them the food, but then you have a minute to sit down and say, hey, Brian, how was that chicken or how was that? So there's a possibility for just loving on them with a meal.
Is there a website?
Yes, ma'am. We do have a website. And
is there any way we can put that website up on the screen?
It is under construction, but we do have a website. It's got our phone number on it, and we're building that with the help of Pastor Joe. Yes, ma'am.
You know, when we ask the question, what am I going to eat today? That's usually when we're looking at the different restaurants that we would choose from, or we open up our pantry or refrigerator and try to figure out what it's in that pantry and refrigerator to eat. But when homeless people ask, what am I going to eat today? They're literally trying to figure out, where am I going to eat and when? And so to be able to provide a meal for them like that is a powerful, powerful opportunity for us to share the love of Christ with them. Yes?
One more question.
Sure.
How do we discern between, I'm pretty new to the area, I'm just wondering how you discern between mental health, like schizophrenia or anything.
What I do, because I have a background in that. What I ask, let's say Brian wanted to come down and volunteer. What I ask people to do is just come down and shadow one of our staff members, kind of sit in the day room or sit in the ministry room and just observe. To your question, Wendy, there is a lot of issues, mental health, substance abuse, but we don't have a lot of acting out in violence because we're kind of trained to watch for that. And if somebody comes in, we'll say, hey, listen, Warren's sitting over there and he's talking to himself, but there's nothing wrong with him. He's having a moment, you know, just kind of stay away from there, but don't discourage you from coming because we have other places to be. But that's a real good question because a lot of people don't understand mental health, but it's rapid in the United States. It's rapid in the world. Due to everything going on, depression, anxiety, all those things. So we all deal with that in a certain way. So each individual down there does have something of that sort. But we can sit down with you and kind of explain what to look for. And we're setting up a training program for the volunteers now. So you are aware of those kind of things and say, hey, this guy's acting like this. Well, just come get one of us or whatever. And then, because we don't want the burden to be put on you. You're coming there to volunteer. So I just try to make it as, we try to make it as comfortable as possible, but in some days it's going to be uncomfortable because you're going to see things that we're not used to.
Sure. And that's okay. And we've got to be okay with that. It's an uncomfortable place. And so, Paul.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to kind of, you know, let everybody know that, you know, it's not just about going down there on Saturdays and saving souls and everything. We do try to, and this is something that was placed on Pastor Don's heart, you know, to continue that growth in their journey with Jesus, right? So, you know, Pastor Don and Joyce and a few others will go down there on Fridays and continue that. You know, they'll do Bible studies. There's a lot of thirst. There's a lot of questions. We see it on Saturdays, and we see it on Fridays. So even just going down and helping to minister, you know, which we're all called to do, is something that you can do. You can answer questions. You can turn to a page in the Bible and read a scripture. You know, again, just help them continue their walk with Christ. So I really encourage you to reach out and look for those opportunities, because there is a lot of thirst there. And come on a Saturday. It's life-changing.
What time does it start?
I think it's going to change, right, Don? It's
Saturdays?
On Saturdays, it's usually 11:30. And we're getting ready to work with Pastor Warren on a dedicated Saturday. But on Fridays, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon for the worship and follow-up service. Tuesdays, they have a women's Bible study that Joyce is a part of, too. I think 10 or 10:30, it could be.
10:30.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We have Grounds of Grace that comes in on Monday and Tuesday, and they do a Bible study on Monday. And I encourage the women that are coming there to participate. But also, when Joyce come and the other ladies come, it starts building that relationship. And that's key. And that's another thing I forgot to bring up is we're trying to form a relationship with these individuals so they can start learning how to build a relationship with Jesus. Because it's, you know, it's this relationship that makes this relationship work. But they don't understand that. They understand the horizontal relationship, and I've got to keep everybody happy, and I got to worry about this. But if you have that relationship with Christ, He's going to put people in your path to help you through that. And that's what we try to instill in them is, listen, you're a good person. Again, you're worthy. You're not what people say you are. You're what Jesus says you are.
You know, and
you have to just continue to speak that, because if you speak that, they believe it. But if you continue to speak that you're never going to end up to be anything, that's what they're going to believe.
Yeah, so any other comments or questions? I don't want to keep anybody from sharing anything, but I appreciate, Paul, what you said, and also Wendy, and there's others that are here, Dawn and Joyce and Shekinah and Richard. There's so many people that go there on Saturdays and help out with the ministry there. But I want to leave it at this, and I want to start landing this plane here just a little bit, because we can talk a long time about it, but I think we're getting the idea here. And that's this. Do you have an hour a week? And I'm talking to folks here that might not be so busy with working a 9-to-5 job, but even those that are working a 9-to-5 job, sort of idea. Do you have an hour a week, an hour every other week, an hour a month, that you can say, you know, the Lord has given me the ability to budget well. The Lord has actually given me, I used to teach school, and I can teach someone to read and write. I've got some good parenting skills that I can pass on. I can do manicures and pedicures and fix up somebody's hair. Yeah, you'll be the first in line every week. First in line every week. But there's something, and I'm just throwing out ideas. It could be that you're sitting here saying, well, Pastor Brian, you're not saying what it is that I'm feeling in my heart that I can do. So does that mean I don't need to do it? No, that's not it at all. I'm just trying to prime the pump in your heart, because God has given you something of time, talent, and treasure to steward. And we're giving you, the Lord is giving you an opportunity to take that He's placed in your care and to invest it some way, somehow, into the Full Life Hope Center. Once a month, once a week, whatever the case may be. I just want to make sure that we all stand before the Lord one day and that He says, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? And that we could say, man, I volunteered at the Palmetto Women's Center. I gave to the Palmetto Women's Center. I volunteered at Full Life Hope Center. I did something with these resources. I didn't hoard them. I didn't keep them. I didn't use them for myself selfishly. I gave. And the more that we give, the more the Lord's going to give us to be a blessing. He's going to bless us to be a blessing. That's what we are. We're a conduit. We're a pipe. We're a channel that he flows through out to a world that is lost and dying and in great need. And I just want to give you the opportunity today to consider that. And I want to pray over the congregation. I want to pray over with Pastor Warren as well. But I want to pray that I believe the Lord is stirring your heart. And I just feel so strongly as I was preparing for this Sunday, knowing that what we were going to do at the Palmetto Women's Center, I had a conversation. We had a lunch together a couple of weeks ago. And based off of that lunch, I feel like the Lord was just telling me, you need to bring Pastor Warren here. And we need to just have a conversation in front of the congregation and let the Lord take care of her from there. Because again, we are God's resources, and he has given us resources. Our bodies are resources. Our lives are resources. And he's given us things to also resource back to him. And I would encourage you to consider what you might be able to do sometime during the week, once a month or whatever, once a week, 1 hour a week, to say, I can do this. I want to give it a try. So what we've done is we've set up a table back there. And I'm going to ask if Richard, Shekinah, Josh, Joyce, Paul, Reb Bev, others that are here that are part of Donald, everybody that, I don't want to miss anybody, but anybody that's been part of this at any given time, I need you to just stand back there at that table when we dismiss here today, not right now. And I want the rest of the congregation, and I'm going to give you guys some time here to do this. That's why I want to try to wrap this up as soon as possible so you can have some opportunity to get back there. And if they're busy chatting with someone, wait, don't walk away. But all we're trying to do right now is to get your name and your phone number so that we can contact you this week. And if you're viewing this online, communicate with us somehow, email us. You can put in the comment section, hey, I want to be contacted. Some way, somehow, let us know you're interested in this. And then we're going to reach out to you this week and have a little more lengthy conversation with you to see what you might be able to do to give of your time and talent and treasure to the Full Life Hope Center so that we can love on these people and give them hope and have relationship with them and show them Jesus and equip them practically with some things and pour out from our lives what God has blessed us with so that we can be a blessing. Because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? So today is a day, if you're coming for a message, here's the message. You know, God is calling us to take care of the widows and the orphans and the aliens. And that's the message. So what are we going to do with that? We have an opportunity to do something with it. And many of us are. But many of us maybe are not sure what to do with these resources. And right now the Holy Spirit is saying to you, here's an opportunity. Here's an avenue. Do this. Go kick the tires. It may not be a good fit for you, but at least go and be there. Let Pastor Warren, shadow Pastor Warren or one of the other staff members there. Go and visit the place. And Shekinah and the rest of you guys that have been there, you're here today and you're alive, right? You survived, right? It's not a scary place. It's a wonderful, loving place. Opportunities abound there for us to give of our time and talent and treasure. So I want to ask you if you would stand this morning with us. And let's pray for Pastor Warren. And we're going to wrap this up, and I'm going to ask, as I'm praying here, if the rest of you that I mentioned that have been part of the Hope Center would just slip back there, except for you, I'm going to have you stay here with us. And we're going to wrap this up, and I'm going to dismiss you all to go back to the back there in just a few moments and say, hey, sign me up. I want to know more about it. You're not signing up to do anything but have a conversation this week with one of those that are part of the Full Life Hope Center. Pastor Warren is happy to talk with you as well if you want to talk with him. But anybody is able to communicate with you. And then you can share a little bit more. But I just let the Lord is just telling me that I can do this. Is that a fit? Can I do that there? Would that be a benefit? And I'm sure the answer would be yes, or else the Holy Spirit wouldn't be putting in your heart to do that. So if you would, let's bow your heads in prayer. And we just want to pray over you right now. Holy Spirit, you know the purposes of what you're wanting to do here in this gathering. Everybody is here, not by mistake, but by divine appointment. Lord, you've brought each of us here. If we're visiting here today, if we're tuning in here today, and we've never tuned in before, maybe sporadically, but here we are today. All of us are here today within the sound of my voice for a specific reason. You have divinely destined us to be part of this conversation here today, so that we can be challenged, so that we can be given the opportunity, so that we can be made aware of the resources that we have and that we're to steward them well to take care of the widows and the orphans and the aliens. Aliens being anybody that's different than us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts right now what we can do to invest an hour a month, an hour a week, or some way, somehow, to give of our time and talent and treasure and steward it well back into what makes your heart break. What makes your heart grieve, and that is lost souls. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not look down at anybody that we're superior, because we're not. Lord, we're all sinners saved by grace. And God, we're just one blind beggar telling one other blind beggar where the food is. And I pray that you'd help us to give of our time and talent and treasure, whether it be through Full Life Hope Center, whether it be through Palmetto Women's Center, or whether it be some other avenue, but show us what we need to do with what you've entrusted into our care, and to not squander it away, but to give, and to give, and to give. And as we give, your word says, give, and it shall be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And Lord, we don't apply that to our money. We don't say, God, we're going to give so we can get. That's not it at all. Lord, you're giving us the opportunity to give so that you can give us more to give. We want to be a conduit of that in practical ways, in useful ways, all to point people to you. Lord, we pray for Pastor Warren and those that are part of that Full Life Hope Center. Encourage them, strengthen them, protect them, anoint them, provide for them, Lord God. And for those that are part of that center that come and go and visit, may they feel the presence of the Holy Spirit there. And may there be such an anointing that is over that campus. And may they all, Pastor Warren and the rest of the workers and the volunteers, see everyone through your eyes and love them through your love and reach out to them through your hands and feet. And may we all, Lord God, in whatever way that we can, use the resources that you've given us so that when we stand before you, you can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Those things that I've stewarded into your care, you resourced them well for my kingdom. Lord, that's the message of today. May we go from here and figure out what that looks like in our individual lives and here corporately. And thank you again that we can give the money to the Palmetto Women's Center. Father, we pray that every dollar that was given, that was sacrificially given, Lord, let it be converted to a saved baby, to a saved soul. Lord God, let there be the destinies of these precious babies and these moms and these dads and these grandparents and all that are involved with this thing, Lord God, with the saving of these babies. Lord God, may the ripple effect be beyond what we can imagine, and only eternity will tell. Not only the Palmetto Women's Center, but the Full Life Hope Center, and every opportunity that we have, Lord God, we know that as we plant and water, that you're going to bring the increase, and it's for your glory. And so in your name we pray, and all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen.